When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now on Giddy Up, it's time for Stable Mail.
What a career Adrian Bott is having in the early part of his tenure as a head trainer, along with Gabe Waterhouse. He'll saddle up a host of runners in Saturday's big dance, the Golden Slipper. Adrian, good morning to you, mate. First of all, when you look back at it now, it's a massive achievement from the stable to have this many runners in the big race.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. Delighted with what the team's been able to sort of work towards this season. I feel they've been had some nice results with these horses coming through, and they've all sort of gone through their respective paths and performed well. So job's not done yet. Still need to really be able to sort of try and see if we can get them peaking for their grand final, but delighted with the position we're able to be in.
Do you feel like a football coach that's been dominating the home and away season? You went through the preliminary and semi-final with flying colours and you're basically unbeaten, but you still got to win the grand final to make it a success in a way?
Yeah, look, I guess that's a good analogy. Well and truly, it's been satisfying the execution on the way through, and watching some of these horses develop and sort of go through the races that we set out for them, and achieve those goals, which is, as I said, well and truly been satisfying. And I think we've given them every sort of possible chance we can to have them in the right position, qualified, not necessarily just qualified, but being set up to be there to run there. Each of them sort of run their best races.
Yeah, and it's been, as I said, an amazing training performance. Do you still have sleepless nights in a way? I know I was listening to Chris Wall the other day, and he says, well, there's two more sleeps. They've got to eat up. You've got to trot them up every morning just to make sure nothing goes wrong, and it's not far away now.
Yeah, look, I think just as much as you sort of keep in routine and, sort of try and keep everything in that sort of frame of mind, tick all the boxes, and no doubt that just sort of helps keep you sort of focused and mind on the right things that you sort of the things that you can control.
Can you compare Storm Boy to what we saw there on the Gold Coast to what you think we might see on Saturday?
Yeah, look, he's a horse that's continued to show improvement each time. I think we're seeing him step out. He had some nice improvement in terms of his fitness there. Obviously, sort of his first run, since the Gold Coast there, and I thought he'd done well in the 3 weeks in between, and just continued to build nicely towards this. Obviously, very very talented horse, I do think there's more to come from him.
Do you see him in the first four?
Yeah, certainly. Obviously, nice low draw there for him. Would like to be himself right in the race. It's going to be a high pressure race, particularly with the horses that we have involved. They're all got speed and tactical speed, and all drawn very well to be able to utilise that. So we'll sort of do that to the best of our advantage. But he loves a high pressure race. Sort of all the races that I think we've seen him in, where he's done best. He's absorbed pressure and really really enjoyed it. So he'll be up there, and happy to put a bit of speed and bit of pressure into the race for all of them.
How much fitness did Fully Lit? Did he appreciate that run in Canberra the other day after he dominated that Inglis race there a few weeks back before going to Canberra? And he gets a lovely gate as well.
Yeah, he's drawn very well. Yeah, should be able to get a nice nice run from there. However, which way Sam sort of wants to play it. He's been pretty versatile in everything that we've seen him. I thought it was still a great effort there at Canberra. I thought it was a bit short in the market on the day. So, it's sort of always disappointing when you look at that sort of how short they got him and not winning. But, I think he had a few things against him there. We had a month between runs and, we were trying to, just being his first prep, trying to leave plenty in the tank for getting him to the slipper. He had to give away a bit of weight there as well. So he's tightened up nicely for that run. That was sort of certainly the race that he needed in order to get him back to his sort of best, I guess, going into the slipper, which I feel he's run out.
Shangler Express, about six to eight weeks ago, was nearly favourite, or before the Gold Coast anyway. He was favourite for the Golden Slipper, and he hasn't really done too much wrong since. Can he improve a couple of lengths to go with the Storm Boy in Switzerland?
Yeah, well, I guess he's had a different style of preparation to a few of the others. He played his cards, early and was able to sort of qualify himself there. So that's sort of taken the pressure off this preparation where I guess a number of horses have still had to sort of try and go through that qualifying phase this campaign. And with him, we've sort of been able to, build throughout the preparation knowing that he's safely in and left good improvement with each run and start that he's had. So, of all the horses sort of going in throughout this campaign, he's one that you'd sort of think, based on that, just continually got the most upside to take out of each run. So, I think we've seen that. He's, again, another one that's drawn nicely and drawn soft to, right into his advantage. So he'll certainly be on speed handy or thereabouts.
Be interesting to see how the fillies go against these magnificent colts. We thought the colts might dominate a Blue Diamond, but, geez, your filly Lady of Camelot, she was mighty in defeat. She gets a better gate on Saturday, gets Blake Shin in the saddle. Do you see her whipping across and maybe taking up the front there with the way that she went in the Blue Diamond?
Yeah, she could easily do that. It was a high-pressure race, and I was in the Blue Diamond, and she's a very fast filly herself. I was amazed that something was able to lead her on the day. I thought she's got that much natural speed. So, and she's very brave in the feet. She absorbed high pressure and stuck on very well the first time, that way of going. So she's come back very well. Blake got a good feel for her at the trials at Hawkesbury. I thought she still, sprinted very, very well on that occasion. Just showed she was, still improving. And I think we've seen that. She's more well-rounded and more professional since the trip away. She's well and truly got the ability to capable of winning this race for sure. So Blake's got a few options there, but he's certainly got a filly that's got the speed.
There's so much on the line for all of these connections here, but this would be a big result for Yulong Farm. A straight charge can win a slipper, this son of Written By. Have you been happy with him after his really good effort behind Switzerland and a Todman?
Yeah, look, no doubt with these colts, plenty of, sort of studs involved and Yulong being a big investor as well. So, it's pretty important if a colt can win this race for them. And he's just got such a great profile, those really good two-year-olds. He's got that natural brilliance and natural speed that he can sustain and still sort of really quickens off that. And he's hardly put a foot wrong. He's, every start that we've seen him. So, he's just got that right pattern for the race. And I think he'll run very, very well. Brave effort there last start. He absorbed plenty of pressure there in front and still kicked on strongly. So I thought that run should just toughen him up and harden him up nicely for the slipper.
Hippo's probably got the most difficult job with your jocks from gate 11 with Prost.
Yeah, he does. That's sort of one probably would have liked to have drawn a little bit softer with him. But in fairness, last start, Adam did a great job. He had a wide draw with him and got him a nice soft run on the fence in behind Storm Boy. And he found the line nicely. And another one that sort of just kept improving throughout his career. It's been very hard to fold his run. He's put in some excellent races, behind all the right horses. won the Canterbury. So he's got a lot of upside himself. It's sort of easy for him to sort of get lost and fly under the radar a little bit, as is the depth of this race. But he's got plenty of credentials himself.
And I reckon Tommy Berry and James Harran and his connections with Espenage will be clicking on the Racing Australia website nearly every second minute to see if there's a scratching in the golden slipper, because I would have loved to have seen Espenage in this big dance, and hopefully he gets into that slipper.
Yeah, no, certainly. I think he deserves his chance. He won the Breeders' Plate first time asking, and it's always a great form reference previously, and he just didn't quite have the luck there last start. Things didn't go his way, so hopefully he can get a run. He's well and truly of slipper material. Just needs a bit of luck.
And I'm just intrigued by this. This is the last question on your slipper runners, Adrian. We appreciate your time on a busy morning. With so many runners, regarding the tactics, do you just leave it to the owners now because you've got so many runners, or do you go through each horse individually with a speed map? How will that all work out on Saturday? Because it's sort of really unprecedented with the amount of horses one stable has got, and they're all different connections in a race like a Golden Slipper.
Yeah, look, I'm sure, that obviously the draw first and foremost probably sort of dictates how each of those sort of jockeys are sort of willing to ride their horses off the back of their sort of respective draws. And, I think each of them, once that came out, sort of had a few sort of initial reactions as to sort of how they potentially saw the race unfolding or the positions that they want to be in. Sort of given their sort of previous experience in the race and the types of horses that they're on. I think they're all relatively sort of versatile. So, the draw's been pretty crucial for a couple of those. It's about having those conversations with, the jockeys where they, feel they're going to get the best chance and the best running. No doubt it's always going to be a high-pressure race and, that everyone have different ideas on how best to execute it.
So United, does he go around in a Mannion Cup, or do you take him to Albury on a Friday afternoon?
I was tempting to go to Albury, but I'm going to stay here and go to Mannion Cup. I think probably just sort of stretching him out slightly in trip now is going to be suitable for him. He seems in good shape, although he's been very consistent. Just gets a bit of weight relief here in town, so he'll head around the Mannion Cup.
Timmy Wilson, the First Light Racing team, we've got Osmos going around in the opponent stakes. How good are you also representing your stable in that event?
Yeah, I thought Osmos has been excellent. Throughout her whole career, in fairness, she's become desperately close on a few occasions to winning a stakes race. This is sort of the exact style of sort of race that she needs. Just fillies and mares grade over a bit of ground. There's not many of them, but she's needs to capitalise there on the weekend, which she's well and truly capable of doing. Her first up run was excellent. Hit the line strongly. Just took the blinkers off, just stepping up in trip just to give her every chance of being able to settle. But I think they had a nice effect for her first up. And, I thought she's trained on very well. How good are you? She was another one coming out of that same race. She's had a few more runs this campaign and sort of really only just starting now to see her under the right conditions. She had a few runs over 1,300 metres where she'd just run off her feet. But this is sort of the race she's been set for, and I thought she found the line strongly there last start.
Red Resistance looked like he got on his toes before his first up appearance there the other day, and he looked the winner until he got tired that last furlong. You happy with him second up? And geez, the Novelist has had some backing first up, this unbeaten galloper in the Derby Munro.
Yeah, look, been really happy with Red Resistance. I think, as you sort of alluded to there, pre-race just may have got to him there first up. Been off the scene for a while, hadn't sort of seen him. Obviously, was meant to race slipper morning and was scratched on the day. So just been away from the races for a while, and it might have just sort of got to him. Got a bit worked up pre-race, and even just in the running, his first few furlongs, he was probably just running a bit fresh. But the way he quickened up the rides, I didn't think they were going to get to him. But just I think condition gave out late, so he's open to improvement. But changed a few things to try and sort of help him get him to settle pre-race, but that'll be the, yeah, I think that'll be the key to his outcome. Novelist, I guess, probably very similar to him in that regard. We haven't seen him for a long time, so expect him to race well, you know, potentially a bit on the fresh side as well. But no doubt going to improve off the back of that. So hard for him resuming off such a long break in that grade. You know, so he'll hopefully sort of come out of that nicely and we can see more from him later in the campaign.
Military Mission, you go to the Ranford Stakes with him?
Yeah, heading there, 2,000 metres might ultimately still be a bit short of his best. Yeah, he's sort of getting weighted out of those sort of set weights and penalties races and obviously the handicaps. So, small field tactics will sort of come into play here. He might be able to be a bit more positive than what we've seen him in his last couple of runs. Potentially a horse that we could look to back up next week in a race like the Tancred and sort of onto a Sydney Cup path. But looks a nice race for him. I thought he was excellent there, first up, carrying big weight.
Can Gambaray win a Guineas, a Rose Hill Guineas?
Yeah, he's been improving nicely. He was consistent last prep for us. He was very strong over the 2,000 metres last campaign, running third in the Spring Champion. He's stuck on nicely. His two runs first up this campaign, just ultimately well short of his best. So stepping out to the right sort of trip now, he's ready to be effective for us.
All right, then. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in the Rose Hill Guineas. Looks a nice race for Yarrawonga in Melbourne there over the 2,500 metres at the Valley.
Yeah, lovely race for him. Hopefully sort of a bit better for that experience around the Valley there last start. Just a little bit tight for him. He got a little bit lost that way of going. So should certainly be better for the experience. He has worked well around there since. Probably prefer to see him on a bigger track, but sort of limited with options.
You've been excellent with your time, Adrian. We appreciate it. You've got Four Valor, Platinum Jubilee first up, John Bond. Do you think those horses could figure in a finish there at the Valley Saturday?
Oh, I thought probably the best of those would be Platinum Jubilee. Yep. She trialled up nicely. She's got some good form around her. She seems back in better shape this preparation, but hard from that draw, no doubt. She's 17, obviously comes in a few, but that's not going to be easy for her. But I thought she's come down in good shape off the back of a couple of nice trials.
The best for the day for you, mate?
I'll just take anything out of the slipper would be ideal.
And the few...
hard to split them, but it's all some good chances.
Few questions coming through. Hey, next time you go and sell a horse at a local pub at the Watering Hole there in the beer garden, can you let us know?
It's been a great story, hasn't it? It certainly adds to it, but it's sort of the lengths you got to go to get people involved in ownership.
Yeah, you and Gay are terrific for the sport, wonderful ambassadors. You've gone above and beyond with the media, especially this week with so many runners in the Golden Slipper. We wish you the best of luck, mate.
I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Gareth.
There's Adrian Bott there. We'll take a break. It's 8:23. Still plenty more to come. We might catch up with Graham Begg straight after this.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. It's Golden Slipper weekend up there in Sydney at Rose Hill. William Reid Stakes Day at the Valley. And Graham Begg, what a job he's done with his five-year-old mare, Passive Aggressive. He was dominant first up in the challenge. She didn't get into foal, so they put her back into training. And I reckon that performance would have even got Jonathan Munns excited. Graham, as I say, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth.
It was an awesome training performance to see what she did there on the weekend. That must have been, or a few weeks back, that must have been extra satisfying.
Yeah, it was, to get her back and that. And, it's not easy getting him back into racing mode once they've been switched off. And, she did a very, very good job.
I'm still trying to work out why she's $13 for the Galaxy on Saturday.
Well, I guess they probably feel it's a harder race. But look, she hasn't shown us anything to think that she's gone backwards. So we're very pleased with her, and she's ticked all the boxes to go to the races.
So she hasn't gone backwards, and do you think there's a little bit of improvement in her from her victory there the other day in the challenge?
Oh, I think no doubt probably would be a little bit of improvement to come. So it's a bit of a quick turnaround, 2 weeks. I would have preferred 3, but look, she's worked beautifully during the week, and as I said, she's given us all the indications that she's in good shape.
See, Majik was an eye catcher there the other day in Sydney. She goes around that final event.
Yes, she runs well. She's had a third and a second up there in the last 2 starts, so she's in good form. Drawn out a little bit. Bit of giving the ground won't do her chances any harm. We felt that the track was a little bit firm for her the other day at Randwick, and they ran a pretty blistering time, 1:08 something in that race. So we think just a bit more giving the ground will be very forgiving for her.
Can Riverport cause an upset in the opponent's stakes?
She's got to get a run yet. She's an emergency, yes. So that'll be her deal, trying to get into the race. But she's going as well as she possibly can. She ran fourth at Flemington the last start, the Matron Stakes. So it's a nice progression to the 1900, the opponent. So if she can get in the race, she's certainly a sneaky little placeholder.
Love the way that Son of Solly got the job done there the other day, stepping up to the 2400 metres. Can he do it again?
Well, he's in good form. He's just drawn a bit awkwardly. He's drawn the outside gate, but we feel that the horse is going very well, and it's a sort of next step for him to go to a Saturday race. So hopefully he can run very well for us.
What's G-Beg's best for Saturday?
Same as you.
All right, mate. We appreciate your time as always. Good luck.
Pleasure. Thank you.
There's Graham Beg, 8:31. Let's take the news. Champion New Zealand trainer Mark Walker will be joining us next.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. Gareth Hall with you this Thursday morning. This is Giddy Up Stable Mail. Great to be with you ahead of a massive weekend of racing. One of my favourite times of the year, of course, with Golden Slipper Day. You've got the William Reid there in Sydney as well. And the Snowden Camp will play a major part. They've got chances everywhere you look, including the Golden Slipper, with 2 strong chances. And Paul Snowden joins us on this Thursday. Good morning, Paul.
Gareth, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. Jeez, I can't wait to see what Bodyguard can do in a Golden Slipper.
Yeah, well, look, we've had a bit of bad luck, but we're there in good order, and he's come on hugely from his Todman run. So, hopefully we can run our best race this prep.
Where do you want to be in the run with him?
Look, there's good speed inside and outside, so, just where he's happy. We had to drag back for an awkward draw the other day, so hopefully we can sort of lay up in a midfield spot. That'd be great.
I still can't quite work out how Fully Lit's $34 with Bet365 and Holmes and Court's $81. He went straight past him in that Black Opal in Canberra.
Yeah, look, and he hasn't had, the hard racing that most have. He's coming here with a bit of fresh form behind him, so I think he'll run extremely well. I don't think he's out of running right up to the place getters for sure. He's certainly a horse that's gone on from his win the other day, and he's drawn a good gate for him. So hopefully he can run well also.
What do you make of the Sydney and Melbourne form lines with these 2-year-olds these days? Because Homer Court did start off his career in Melbourne before heading to Sydney.
Yeah, but I've got to say, the more he's done this horse, the more he's impressed me. I probably didn't think he could get to this level, but he's earned his spot. His winning form, he's held his own against some higher class 2-year-olds, and he's run well. So, like I said, his work on Tuesday was great. They both worked together, him and Bodyguard. There was nothing between them. So I dare say hopefully they get all the best of luck they can on Saturday, and hopefully there won't be much between them there also.
What do you do with King's Gambit? He gets a start in the Galaxy now. He's also down to race, of course, in the William Reid. Does he stay in Sydney?
Yeah, he never left, mate, so he'll stay up here.
All right, then. He trialled nicely there the other day. What do you? What's your expectations with him, with Jamie Carr sticking with him?
Yeah, look, you've just got that weight luxury against a lot of these horses, which is it's hard to ignore. So the horse is in great form. We want to get back to a six or a better, which they anticipate there'll be sort of somewhere between a five and a six. So, he's just got to live up to his reputation, mate. He can run well.
All right, then. King of Sparta, he's been awesome of late. He probably needs a dry track as well.
Yeah, he does. Look, we're still not hell-bent on running. We've got that option of trialling him on Friday as well. So it's all about sort of what we need to get out of it this weekend, basically, to get him over to Perth. And do we need to bash him up and on a wet surface or a surface not to his liking, or we can, you know, give him a nice trial on Friday and go over there in good shape. So horse is in fine form. He's in winning form. He's in career best form. We've just got to work out how the best way to get him over.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do at Ascot there in the Quokka. Have you booked a rider for him? I know that James McDonald's furious that they've got the all-age stakes on the same day as the Quokka. Is Blake Shin heading over? He's riding him on Saturday, or is that just a wait and see?
Yeah, no, Blake's confirmed to ride. He took the ride about 3 weeks ago, so he's confirmed. But you're right, I rang J-Mac about something else about a month ago. He said, tell me you've got the dates moved. And I said, sorry, brother. I said, I can't do that. I'm not God.
He's hungry, isn't he? He understands these slot races are worth a lot more than the other races with the $5 million. Like, he doesn't have to split it with the slot holders and the owners, does he, really? So,
yeah. No, he done his sums all right.
Yeah. Pia Rossa, she's got a tough gate.
She's got a tough gate, but she's an underestimating filly. She's run exceptionally well first up at the mile, and I dare say she's come on. So The only downside to this is the double-digit draw, but she gets that extended trip, which she dearly needs. So I'm still thinking she's one of them fillies that just, if they get a little bit of luck, they can turn it around for you, and she's one of those. So I'm just dependent on a bit of luck on the day.
Outside of those runners we had a chat about, what would be your best for the day, mate? Tashi looks like she's in the market there in that birthday card stakes.
Yeah, both of those mares are going well, Miss Elfire and Tashi. Obviously, that's a sort of less a high profile race than what we've mentioned earlier. But I don't know. I just seem to think the Slipper Boys, especially Bodyguard, I don't think he's run his best race yet, and hopefully that can be on Sunday.
All right, good on you, mate. We wish you the best of luck in the Slipper. Go and win another one. There's Paul Snowden. There. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Johnny O'Shea.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. This is Giddy Up Stable Mail. Thanks to Bet365 on this Thursday morning. Always great to catch up with champion New Zealand trainer Mark Walker ahead of a big day of racing, especially when he has his superstar mare Imperatrix engaged in the William Reid Stakes. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning.
She had a final hit out, I think, on Wednesday morning. Were you happy with her at Cranbourne?
Yeah, we really were. She worked nicely, so we're actually just on our way back from the beach now.
Yeah, third run back this preparation. Do we see more improvement in her? She probably doesn't need to improve too much because I reckon her running that Newmarket handicap was extraordinary under the circumstances.
Yeah, we were very proud of her effort, and full credit to the colt was just too good on the day at the weights.
Yeah, you must be looking forward to getting back to weight for age, however, with her on Saturday. And I guess Moonee Valley is a favourite track as well.
Yeah, it definitely is a favourite track. She seems to grow a leg around there. So, no, we're looking forward to Saturday.
What does Opie do from that draw?
Oh, he'll just sum it up how he jumps. I think she can race back or forward, doesn't really matter. So he sums things up pretty quickly, so I don't think he has too many concerns.
All right, then, so she's ready to rumble again in Imperatrix. And the Alistair Clark, you've got your star filly going around in Quintessa, who's been ultra consistent this preparation. I thought her run the other day at Flemington, the Guineas, was exceptional. What do you make of her chances in the Alistair Clark?
Yeah, she gives you the impression she'll eat up 2,000 metres. Yeah. You never know till you go to that sort of distance. But on her pedigree alone, she's out of a High Chaparral mare that won at 2,700. So I think that'll be a bonus getting to 2,000. And she worked at the Valley Tuesday. She got round those corners well. So, no, she's definite chance, that's for sure.
Excited to see what Certainly can do in this country. We haven't seen her in this country yet, but there's always, when I was in New Zealand the other month, there was big raps on her, this daughter of Savabeel. How she travelled over?
Yeah, really good. So she only got in last night. So
yeah,
we do that a bit, just come over Wednesday and they race Saturday, and they seem to hop off the plane and race very well. So she's still pretty new and a bit green, but she's pretty much untapped at this stage.
What have you got a race in mind for her this campaign in Australia, or are you just taking a race at a time with her?
Sort of a race at a time. We've got a couple of options, the AJC Oaks or the Australasian Oaks, maybe in Adelaide. So just depends what we do this Saturday as to what path we take.
And she looks like a filly that just would lap up 1,600 metres as well as she steps up to that trip.
Yeah, you'd think so for sure, yes.
Can't wait to see Campanessa back at the races. Boy, I don't know what you've done with her, but what a preparation she's had.
Yeah, she's just got a bit stronger physically. That's mainly what it is with some of these mares. She's just been a little bit slow maturing, but once she's fully mature now, she's stringing together a really good record.
I guess you would have been tempted maybe to go to an All-Star Mile if you got that invite there last week, but you saved her for the Sunline. Inside Gate, where do you reckon Opie will be with her from that draw?
Oh, I think he'll be pretty handy. She had a little, they did ask us about the All-Star Mile, but yeah, we just stuck to our plans as we normally do, and we just felt she'd had flight over from New Zealand in 2 weeks after running against Legato. So she had a week, 10 days, freshen up at the Water Walker, and so just coming back to a mile. But yeah, she seems bright as a button.
Will she go to Sydney after this?
That's the plan. We sort of had a good chat about it, and we just felt we'd stick to fillies and mares, so she might go up for the Queen of the Turf.
It's amazing all the facilities and the tools that trainers use these days. Like back in the day, you'd never see a mare like this, like a Campanessa, have the campaign that she's had, really. And she just keeps, looks like she's just getting better as well as the prep gets deeper.
Yeah, it's just about mentally, like even the beach this morning, just having some of them down there, they really love it. And it's just like with horses, you just got to keep them every morning they come out of the box. You want them thinking, what am I going to do today? Like, it's not much fun going home every morning and having cornflakes every day, is it?
No, that's a good point you make, Mark. What about Prismatic? What did he have for breakfast this morning?
No, he was down the beach as well. So he's probably out of his grade a little bit, but we feel he's still got the freshness to go. Quite a nice race on Saturday.
All right, then he's at $12, so he might be worth an each-way ticket there.
He seems bright enough, so he has run, obviously he's coming back from the Jericho, but on his day, he's not a bad galloper.
Yeah. You got a host of runners in New Zealand, both at Taronga and also at Riccarton, so in both islands. Have you got a stand out there for us, mate?
Probably the two-year-old race at Riccarton, the one horse there by Al Mansour called Nucleusaur. I think he's a really good chance.
Okay, there. So that's in race two. He's impressive on debut, and he's into $1.65 now. So we'll definitely follow that horse. How many more horses coming to Cranbourne from New Zealand base, or you're basically you've got you're full up there at Cranbourne at the moment?
We've always got room for a nice horse.
Yes.
But a filly that ran third in the New Zealand Oaks on Saturday, she's making her way over next week, and she's going to head to Adelaide in a former Wellington Cup winner. He's coming over for the on the same flight, and he'll be at the Warrnambool Jumps Carnival.
Okay. Yep. Oh, that's exciting then. So you got some nice horses coming once again. And so Nucleus Saw would be your best in New Zealand. What would be your best, I guess, Imperatrees, outside Imperatrees there at the Valley on Saturday?
Outside Imperatrees, you'd think Campionessa.
All right, mate. We appreciate your time, Mark. What's for breakfast for you? So do you have to change it around? Are you a cornflakes man, Cocoa Pops?
Oh, no, I've got to fill up the ute, so I might get a pie at the gas station.
Good on you, brother. Thanks for that, Mark. Good luck on the weekend.
Thanks very much.
He's a star. There's Mark Walker. Paul Snowden to join us straight after this. This is Giddy Up Stable Mail.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
Boss ain't working you like this. He can't take care of
Giddy Up. Always
like
great
this.
Fun to catch up with Johnny O'Shea. Good morning, John.
How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Looking forward to seeing what Swartz can do on Saturday first up. Do you expect him to win with J-Mac aboard?
Look, it's a competitive race and there's plenty of pressure. He'll run very well and... But, you know, like I say, he is first up, and I think it's going to be a pretty testing race. So whether he just gets found out the last little bit, you know, because he's got plenty of improvement in him, but irrespective, he'll be in the finish because he's a talented colt and he's had a good foundation.
What's his grand final this time in?
I think that, you know, this run will just top him off nicely for the Arrowfield in 2 weeks. Yeah. And, you know, if he was able to get that done, there's a possibility that he would contest the BDC sprint. But we'll just get through the next month and then make an assessment on the strength of his performances.
And Rhythm of Love in the same race?
Rhythm of Love's a progressive horse. He's got a good racing pattern. He's had the first up run where obviously he beat the older horses. And from that draw, you know, he's going to map well. So he's another one that... he's got, you know, a winning chance, but you would think that our other colt, you know, is probably, as the market suggests, a better winning chance.
Can Cafe Millennium take his Randwick Guineas run to Rose Hill?
Well, he's definitely taken a step forward. You always need to be mindful of, you know, their SP profile, and he was prohibitive odds the other day, albeit probably not justifiably, but... I think, you know, he's probably a little query at the 10, mate, you know, but it's the right option to try him. Mm. You know, he's had a throat surgery, he's a young horse, so we're just hoping that, you know, normally he would run that trip without any issue, but it is in the back of my mind that the first opportunity to try him at 10 furlongs against his own age and sex. So he's in good form, he worked brilliantly throughout the week, and like I said, he's taken a good step forward since Randwick.
Good on you, mate. We wish you the best of luck. I told Simon, make sure you got to look after your old mate and send Amelia's jewel to you. So hopefully he lives up to that bargain like you put him on the map. So hopefully he looks after you. Good on you, Johnny.
Well, let me tell you, Gareth, my wine cellar is a little bit lighter than when he turned up there last time. So
yeah.
He owes plenty.
Good on you, Johnny. See you, mate.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall.
We were born to run. Don't worry about that. This is Giddy Up on this Thursday morning. Thanks to Bet365. Don't forget you can get in contact with us. All you need to do is go to SEN Talk. It's a new way that you can talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. You might have a tip for us for Golden Slipper Day or William Reid Stakes Day. You click on Giddy Up with Gareth Hall, record your message, and we'll play it on the show. We've got some terrific prizes to give away this morning. Talking about superstars, James Cummings joins us here on Giddy Up Stable Mail. Good morning to you, James. I was impressed with you the other day.
Okay, go on.
Osborne Park, I saw some footage. Terrific stuff by Morgan and the team with your social media department. And we saw J-Mac even turning up to Osborne Park to ride a few horses. And... you had this, yeah. I don't know if it was your golf outfit that you had on, but you had a matching belt that I was so impressed with, the green shirt with the matching belt with a little bit of green in it. So So Monica Thanks, must be Gareth. Dressing you well.
You're a radio jock, so you don't necessarily need to dress up for work, but no. You're just pretty sharp from time to time, I've noticed.
Well, we're on camera all the time these days on radio, so it's a changing landscape, and I'm glad even though your beautiful wife doesn't think so, because she still thinks I'm Gary Hartley.
When Monica met you, she did say it was great to finally put a face to a name. She'd always wondered how Gary Hartley looked.
God bless her. Now, it's a big day.
How is she? Yeah, anyway, go on.
What were you going to say, Jimmy? Anyway.
No, I don't think we need to go there.
All right then, mate. We'll talk about Traffic Warden. I tell you what, it was a good ride the other day by Jamie Carr, and she went straight to the front. Craig Williams takes the ride. Can he win a golden slipper, this colt?
Well, we were looking through some of the pre-race banter of a golden slipper from long ago.
Yes.
When there was a matchup against Vane and Special Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of chat about both horses. The clockers at Randwick said they had just witnessed the best half-mile gallop in 50 years from Special Girl. But Vane had won a unique set of races in the lead-up to the golden slipper. And do you know what race he used as his final lead-up race?
Yes.
Win the golden slipper?
The size.
The VRC size.
Mm-hmm.
His two big performances as a two-year-old were the golden slipper 6 furlongs and the champagne stakes 6 furlongs. Back in the days, that race used to be only that distance. And both of those performances came from dropping back from 7 furlongs. You asked me, can Traffic Warden win that?
Yep.
Golden Slipper, and he doesn't have Vane's pre-race record other than he does have a strong win in the VRC size under his belt. And you identified that Jamie Carr rode Traffic Warden in a particular way. And I'd point out that in his only two wins, Traffic Warden's been put into the race both times. I was most pleased with the barrier that Darren Beavan selected for the colt, the barrier draw on Tuesday morning. And that gives Craig Williams the opportunity this time after having to deal with a terribly awkward barrier in the Blue Diamond to now approach this race with a much more attractive barrier in the Golden Slipper. So Craig Williams has got the option to put the colt into the race. He's only been put into two races and he's won both of them.
How do you read the race then with a bit of like Gay Waterhouse, which is unprecedented, and Adrian Botta got 7 horses in the race? So it'd be interesting to see what the speed map does look like. I think it's self-explanatory in a way, but where do you want your horse to be amongst the peloton of the Waterhouse and Bot runners?
I had Darren Beedman and saddling up Traffic Warden on debut. He bumped into a horse called Storm Boy,
yes,
Rose Hill, in an 1100. And my rider that day reported after the race that Storm Boy would never be beating Traffic Warden again. so they finally clash again.
Yes.
We will get the opportunity to find out. But that's what you asked me was about how it might be run. Look, I think a lot of the competitive chances have drawn good barriers. Sometimes barriers are, the most important thing about a barrier is not how far away from the rail you've drawn, it's how far away from the race you've drawn. And I feel like we've drawn close to the rail and close to the race to give Traffic Warden every opportunity to be making the elevation required to be a competitive chance. But he's got to have my feet on the ground. He's a long shot for a reason. But look, only beaten 2.5 lengths in that Blue Diamond when not a lot went his way. And he's now got the grounding from that Blue Diamond. He's got the grounding from a step up to 7 furlongs. He's had the wake-up call, mm-hmm, and he's responding. I'm delighted with the horse.
Don't you love the young fellas saying, hey, boss, Yeah, we won't be getting beat by Storm Boy once again, Zachy Lloyd.
Back you can't have, hey, you, hey, yeah. He's not wrong yet.
No, he isn't wrong, the young fella. He's got a bit of swagger about him as well. I've seen him play golf, so good on Zachy Lloyd. Let's hope he's right.
He's a good golfer. He's marching around. He's marching around the courtyard at Crown Lodge this morning before first lot. He's out riding Wyong yesterday and Hawkesbury the day before, so he's remaining busy and he's got a Group 1 ride and the George Ryder this weekend, so it's all happening and that's good to see. It's good to see the young riders coming through.
Yep, 100%. AF Cabin, this, like, only J Mac can get him beat, I think, on Saturday.
Well, he's really flying, AF Cabin. He's responding to the abbreviated preparation we gave him last time, and his effort first up in the challenge was outstanding. Fastest last 600 of the day was awarded to a horse called Passive Aggressive, who had an uninterrupted run in her last three furlongs, and AF Cabin was climbing over heels. Not James's fault. You can blame the instructions there, but nevertheless, AF Cabin's bursting with energy now. He only needed to get a sniff of a he just needed to get a little crack appear ahead of him sooner, and he would have won the race. And we don't say that lightly. You don't hear me come on your show and say that too often about our horses, but we do believe that about AF Cabin. And had he done so, he certainly scares Passive Aggressive for the mantle of the fastest last three furlongs of the day first up. And that's the setup we've got heading into the Galaxy. A horse with stored energy who's not taken any harm from the... He was as boisterous after the run in the challenge as he was beforehand.
Lovely trial. Yep.
And, look, he trained so well on Tuesday morning. I only hope he didn't train too well.
Oh, no. Who rode him on Tuesday morning?
But you'd rather be worried about... You'd rather be worried about that than the alternative. And I can tell you the horse is feeling just amazing in his own skin this week. So this is a good setup. This is as good a setup as I can get for the horse. He's got that softness in the track that he's going to love. And I think the race sets up well for him from the draw. But there's a lot of action to unfold before the Galaxy on the day. And by the time we get to 5:20, I think the fans are still going to be able to appreciate this is a great race in its own right. And he's got a couple of stablemates who should not be dismissed. One of them is Zapateo, who still finished ahead of him in the Challenge Stakes as a lead up to this Galaxy. She's a Group 1 place mare, Group 2 winner, who looks like she's just got one more thing to tick off on her CV before she can retire as an outstanding sprinter in her own right. And she's capable of taking up a really nice position in the run. Karen McAvoy sticks with her. She showed good speed last time to just go down to Passive Aggressive, who she meets better at the weights and the handicap. And she can really accelerate when these circumstances are in her favour, not least of which would be the softness of the track. And finally, Kalos, who's, equal in the weights with AF Cabin, but he did produce a barnstorming win first up. Too much to do with 58 kilos second up in the Oakley Plate, but this is no Oakley Plate. This is the Galaxy. This race is a much higher rated race on paper, a 3 kilo better race, evidently, and Kalos therefore is just that bit better in. He's just got that little bit more relief from the top. There's nothing wrong with the way he's going, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with the form from the Rubiton. So he can certainly run a race. I would not count out that horse one bit.
Yeah, big prices, Kalos, and hats off to you the other day with Zapateo, because you did give her a good push at a price and she was mighty in defeat. So three chances in the Galaxy headed by AF Cabin, the son of my favourite, the mightiest Stern, who's still the best value when it comes to bulls, I think, in Australasia these days. Let's move on. Talking about a Stern, Golden Mile. You play with his headgear once again. The blinkers off, the tongue tie goes on in the George Ryder.
We feel like we just needed to mix it up with Golden Mile.
Yes.
And that's all right. I've done so in the past with the horse to great effect. He has not won $4 million in stakes for nothing, this colt, and he will retire to our roster. This preparation has been indifferent so far, and four-year-old horses in the autumn, they really need to want it to be competing in the big races. But this is the first chance the horse gets back to weight for age this campaign. Don't forget that last preparation he produced big time off two unplaced runs leading into his third up run when he won the Theo Marks. I think that he's building towards that sort of performance from what I've observed in his training. Whilst you won't see it physically in his body weight, I can see him shifting his weight around. I can see the horse is building more muscle. He's looking harder, and therefore perfectly fit for 1500. And it's the right time to be asking the horse to be back to weight for age. And I think the draw's going to work out very well for him also. Meanwhile, yes, we've just mixed it up a little bit with his headgear. And the horse is really responding. I've ensured that he's just that bit fitter from his first two runs. A couple of things were against him there, but you've got to put that out of your mind now. They were handicaps. One was a set weights penalties race where he wasn't well suited, and second up was a handicap on shifty ground. So there's a lot to be said for Golden Mile to be bouncing back to that Theo Mark, except some Golden Eagle form that he showed last prep. And that puts him in the mix here in what is a huge George Ryder field. That's a little lacking in current ratings on the horses that have entered so far.
Yeah, I think Golden Mile, you know him well. You've done that, as you pointed out. You've been able to get inside of his head. He reminds me of your relationship with the driver. Sometimes you've got to change things up to get the best out of him, Golden Mile. And Pericles, I just wanted him to draw a gate. He'll need some magic from Huey Bowman here. But I thought he would have been a big chance in the George Ryder. I would nearly had him on top if he drew a gate, James.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's not obvious that the inside gate is the way to be in this race. If they just bunch up and don't go genuine all the way, look, I think they'll be a genuine pace early, but whether or not they go genuine in their pace throughout, like a proper standard weight for age event, well, that remains to be seen. And I say that because, therefore, Pericles might be the one that's looming up on the outside that's in clear running, and not finding any of that traffic. Well, that would be good news for Pericles. Look, that's good news because he brings the bright side form into this race. He was looming up like an excellent chance of running a hole in the Canterbury Stakes a couple of weeks ago behind Lady Laguna, and think about it. Just got disappointed for a run, shut out at a vital time, and when it was all over, he still only got defeated by 3 lengths. And now he gets back up to 1,500, where he's better suited at that trip. So in his final lead-up race before the Doncaster, I can't imagine the horse is going to do anything but run a good race. And he goes into this race, another one of our horses with stored energy, having had a bit of a barrier trial last time in the Canterbury Stakes. And he's pulled up from that run feeling pretty good about himself.
Mm. And Joe Pride this morning, I thought there was something going on because he usually doesn't pull out of interviews when he commits to them, Joe Pride. But unfortunately, and there was rumours this week, we had a few text messages on a Monday and Tuesday, James, and Racing New South Wales have tweeted out saying, trainer Joe Pride has this morning notified Racing New South Wales stewards that routine blood test performed on Think About It has revealed a slightly elevated white blood cell count. He is further advised that Think About It this morning will go through, you'll have a scope basically. So looks like he is out of the George Ryder Stakes at the moment. No, he hasn't been completely ruled out, but it doesn't look good anyway, to think about it. So you might not have the favourite to compete against.
Well, look, that's disappointing news for Joe and the connections, and Sam and the connections, I think about it. He's all right. But if that all comes out, get your producer to do some work this morning.
Yes.
And find the last George Ryder that didn't have a horse in the race that was rated above 110.
We will, actually. That is interesting. It's an interesting path he's going down, we think about it. In fact, you can help us out here as a trainer. So think about it. They had a high white blood cell count, and then they scoped him, and that didn't show up anything. So basically, they're going to repeat the blood test, and then they'll make a decision whether he goes around in the George Ryder Stakes. So there you go. So the scope says he's okay, but the blood tests say that there's something wrong with him. So a little confusing, but that's what they reported to the stewards there, James.
No, that sounds reasonable. I think yep. Joe Pride, that's all sensible to me. That Joe Pride knows what he's doing there. 100%. So you've got to leave it in Joe's hands.
Yeah. So let's hope he's okay, because I find it interesting they're going down that path over the 1,600 metres to the Doncaster on the way with the George Ryder, which is over the 1,500. So well, I'll do some research and I'll get back to you on that. What about... Like, I love Nashra Willie. He's one of my favourite jocks. But I think Tommy Kitten would be saying, Jimmy, I think we might need a bit of a change up here. And you've got Huey Bowman.
Yeah, Hugh flies in. He's had a nice week in Australia. A few days at Dunedoo.
Oh, yes.
And I think he'd be walking the coast, getting a little bit of a fresh sea breeze there tomorrow in Sydney as he prepares his mind and his body for the challenges at Rose Hill Gardens. But it's a great day, slipper day. Hugh loves coming back over for the big events, and he does it sensibly. He doesn't try to come back every weekend. But he looks like Hugh's amassed a good book of rides. Nash has won three races on Tom Kitten. So, you know, a lot of times it's gone very well for Nash. But he just hasn't had the draws, and things haven't quite worked out right. And, you know, some of the races have had pace sucked out of them. Hugh's going to get his chance from a good draw. It looks like it's going to work itself out pretty well. It should work itself out perfectly, really, for Tom in the Rose Hill Guineas. And let's face it, we're up to a mile and a quarter, which is right in the wheelhouse for our colt. So he can begin to make things happen instead of trying to force things to happen over shorter distances. So Hugh will slide in as the beneficiary, and it's a real horse race, because not only do we see the clash of the form from the Randwick Guineas and the Australian Guineas in the form of, you know, Tom Kitten and Genbara and the other horses. You know, there's nine of them that were within a length and a half of the winner in the Randwick Guineas. The winner goes straight to the Doncaster, as you know, and the second place getters running in the rider.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got the horses from the Australian Guineas, like Riff Rocket, you know, and King Colorado. So that's interesting. And don't forget the upcoming horse from Melbourne, Immediacy. It might have drawn wide, but has looked very impressive, particularly when the blinkers went on. Just keeps improving, that horse. So how do you put it? How do you put a ceiling on him?
I don't think you can with that horse, and that's
why it should be, because to win a Rose Hill Guineas, you need a very, very good horse, and Tom's going to need to be at his best. Think of his performance in the Spring Champion Stakes to be winning this race, and that's the way it should be.
What about Corniche, that fourth race, the Derby Munro Stakes, each way price? Aussie Tom takes the ride.
I think the horse is going to get a good run in that race. I don't think... I feel like the horse is trained on beautifully since his excellent first-up effort. Only had the one start last prep. You know, had only one run in 12 months. One run in 12 months. So to keep closing in a solid pace to run second was excellent. He's still not that well in at set weights and penalties here. But he can get the run he needs. He's up to 6 furlongs, which is better for Corniche. He's trained really solidly, and he's going to enjoy the soft track that is dished up at Rose Hill. So look out for that horse. Even with the 59, I think he's a winning chance.
Can Cylinder win from an inside gate, wait for age again and defeat Imperatrice and the like there in a Group 1 sprint in Melbourne, this time around the Valley in a William Reid?
Well, he can win. Mm. There's no doubt that Imperatrice is such a dominant weight for age horse, and you know that it's the first question on your lips is whether or not he can beat her at weight for age. But as you know, Gareth, we like to challenge our good colts. We've not been shy of challenging them in the past, and Cylinder is going to equally be challenged now that he's an impressive Newmarket handicap winner back at weight for age to see if he can't go to that next level. We saw Bivouac go to the next level, winning at weight for age as a 4-year-old. I've seen other 3-year-olds win it with lightweights, perform at weight for age, like In Secret, and Sunlight won this race after her lightweight win against Osborne Bulls. So, this is where we're going to find out a little bit about Cylinder, and the inside barrier is interesting. There's no doubt that you run the risk of being badly held up at Moonee Valley from the inner draw, but equally, well, we've lost races because we've had to cover too much ground out wide and the race has got away from us, or the track's been more favourable towards the inside runners. So you balance it all up. Sometimes you get the break, sometimes you don't. It's the love affair that we all have with horse racing. And Cylinder's going to be in the firing line. I can tell you he hasn't taken a backward step since the Newmarket. He just looked fantastic when I saw him with my own two eyes on Monday morning, and he just worked beautifully at Flemington. So there's no issue from our perspective that Cylinder isn't prepared to go ahead, improve on his rating, and having challenged the horse, find out if he's up to it.
Yeah, I looked at him there on Tuesday at Moonee Valley. Geez, he's a beautiful-looking colt and Cylinder. And, can't wait to see him. Good luck to Bo Mertens getting an opportunity as well in a big race like that. Marquez, you must have been happy with him at Osborne Park Tuesday morning to send him to Melbourne.
We were. We think that horse has freshened up quite well after not quite showing the amount of sustained sprint that he was asked to second up. Back to 7 furlongs. But now he's had those 2 good grounding runs back this preparation. He gets back to 1.25 miles and he gets the best map of the weekend, Marquez, for our runners. So I can see things working out quite well there. And Celine Gaudray will enjoy riding the horse with the claim. And look, you know, it's good to see a bit of bounce in the horse. He's been freshened up well since that most recent start. And I think this is an excellent stepping stone for him. Heaven forbid if he was good enough to be targeting an Easter Cup. That'd be a bit of fun with that horse.
And the Easter Cup's not on the Easter weekend. It's the week after. So make sure you keep that in mind, James. Then you've got Ambitions in that 9th race. This filly that was okay at Flemington the other day, she's second up.
Yes, she's always going to... Look, we identify the race as a target race. She had improvement in her going into that first up run. She gave a stack of weight away to the place getters. It's a miracle she didn't run a place, given she was in the firing line, but the handicaps took their toll there. She's well suited here. Big field assembled for the time on at Don Casbolt.
Yes.
And look, it'll be a huge result for the sales team to see another sales purchase get up for a stakes victory. We would enjoy that very much.
What's the driver's best this weekend? Massive weekend for the Blue Army.
Morning. Morning, Gareth.
Morning, driver.
How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Sardozi was impressive. Did she go to the Oaks or the Derby? Have you worked that one out yet?
My Bugs Bunny's already tied up to the Oaks, mate. But the boss could change his mind. You never know.
Yeah, never know. What are you hearing? What's Dominic Byrne saying?
I don't know. Dominic's not speaking to me at the moment. I told him a joke that was...
You be careful. Yes. What about, what's your best driver? Give us, what have you got for us battlers?
Well, do you know what a Corniche is, Gareth?
It's pasty, isn't it?
No.
What is it?
Well, it's a pathway.
Yes.
Along a cliff edge.
Yes.
And it's also the a name of one of the Rolls Royces. The Corniche is sort of top of the list.
Okay, yes. I've been to a Corniche beach before.
Right. Well, the point is I'm tipping Corniche.
All right, then. At $12. Let's hope for your sake you don't fall over the edge. We appreciate your time, driver.
James said that Huey Bowman will be walking along the coast.
Yeah.
He's not riding at St. Kevin's. He won't go over.
No, but Tommy.
I think Tom's going to drive him on Saturday, and let's hope he can drive him into a hole at least.
All right, then. We appreciate your time. Thank you. Thanks to James as well. We've got Edward Cummings coming up shortly, so we better get going. We appreciate your time. You too. Good luck on the weekend. Go and win a slipper. There we go. James and the driver. Sensational. Let's take the news. Bennett and the team do a wonderful job. Footy season's back. Good luck to the Alderman Kangaroos. Go down there for a cold pot of Carlton Draft or whatever beer you like. And Shane and the team will look after you. Can't wait for that Swan Hill Carnival. It's going to be bigger and better. And that Calcutta will be something else on a Saturday night. So looking forward to that. We need to find you a few winners today and tonight. Bendigo, race 5, number 4, Russian Front for Mitchie Lewis. Race 5, number 4, and at Pakenham tonight. Race 3, number 9, She's Bulletproof. And race 6, number 1, Mow Down. Good young horse for Charlotte Littlefield. At Newcastle today, race 3, number 10, Bush Girl. And it's the start of the Albury Cup Carnival on the border there. Mick Gannon likes race 4, number 2, Suspect. And race 7, number 4, Flying Sultan. Race 4, number 2, race 7, number 4. Harness racing tonight from Echuca. Darren Carroll likes race 3, number 8, Star Down Under. And race 5, number 1, Shawami Lass. Race 3, number 8, race 5, number 1. And the Ladbrokes Golden Easter Egg, Saturday the 13th of April. Simon Orchard likes race 6, number 7, Corborn Red. And race 8, number 2, Numb. So race 6, number 7, race 8, number 2. The Greyhound Super Series returns with the time-honoured Ladbrokes Golden Easter Egg, Saturday the 13th of April. And that is Bag of Tips. Thanks to Oz Equipment Rentals, supplying equipment to the construction, mining and roadworks industries, ozequipment.com. And the best pub I know, the Mighty Ultima Hotel in the heart of the Mallee, just down the road from Swan Hill. Make sure you swing by for a cold beer. And, watch the footy there over the weekend and local footy just around the corner. Today's wagering update brought to you by Bet365, the world's favourite online betting brand. What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. And King Eternal is just slightly injured at the moment, but he won't be far away. That's Gary and Tim's very own greyhound. And if you like to be king for a week and share in his winnings, all you need to do is just listen to Gary and Tim from Tuesday to Thursday weekdays on 11:16. Time for a break. Edward Cummings to join us next.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy up with Gareth Hall. Can you hear me
calling? You touch me. I want you. Welcome back to Giddy Up. Giddy up on this Thursday morning. Thoroughbred Sales, find your next champion. Great to catch up with Edward Cummings on this Thursday morning. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Gareth. How are you, mate?
I am very well, mate. Big weekend for your stable coming up on Saturday. But first of all, how's life without Joaz after she was retired recently?
Oh, all things being equal, mate, life's great.
Yeah.
You know,
naturally, we were all a little bit sad to see her go. But at the end of the day, we knew that this was probably going to be her last campaign. You know, there was always going to be the possibility that she was going to give us a very clear sign that she'd had enough. And look, in a funny way, I was thankful that it came after her first up run. You know, we didn't really want to be pushing her when she wasn't, you know, didn't have her head in the game, as they say. And so with that very clear indication and having to pull up on account of a soft tissue injury, I thought in the bigger picture, we did the right thing and she goes to the paddock now. She gets to have a really good sort of break leading into the beginning of next season when I'm sure she'll go to stud and start covering or being covered by some of the best stallions in the country at Yulong.
Yep. Yeah, and you did a wonderful job with her, more than $4 million in prize money, multiple group ones. So, yeah, she was a terrific horse for you, basically, to, in a way, kick off your career.
Definitely, definitely. You know, and quite a surreal experience. You know, she won group ones in three different states, up and down the eastern seaboard, and she was unlucky in quite a few others. So, you know, we'll never forget those days. Look back on them very fondly. As usual, the search continues to find others like her.
I ran into you in New Zealand for the Karaka sales, mate. So how have you been with you? How many yearlings have you purchased so far with that at the yearling sales across Australasia? We've got Easter still to come.
Sure, yeah. So we just wanted to keep our numbers pretty select this year.
Yeah.
We bought a few last year, some first season sires that we quite liked the look of, and they've all done really well for us. They're looking like some really nice prospects, particularly like this year. I think the first season sires have all provided a number of sort of black type winners, multiple winners, black type horses across the board. Like Yes, Yes, Yes had his first winner yesterday. He's had a number of black type horses be turned out, and I think he'll have a pretty big week there next, particularly next Wednesday, with a couple of really nice horses coming out of big yards like my father's, Chris Waller's, and John O'Shea's yard. So he's certainly a stallion I've got a lot of time for, and looking forward to seeing how they keep improving. As far as this year is concerned, we've bought three. Bought a really nice I Am Invincible colt from the Magic Millions through the Beamer draft.
Yes.
And then bought two yearlings at the New Zealand the New Zealand Karaka sale, an Ocean Park beauty, absolute beauty, from Gordon Cunningham at Curramore, and then a Circus Maximus filly from Mappoli. Who of course had whose brand stamped the shoulder of So You Think. So, and she's out of a mare that we know well, a half sister to Queen Maker, who has earned nearly $250,000 in prize money for us after being a $35,000 yearling purchase. So, happy with what we've got. Looking forward to seeing how they all pan out.
Any shares available for us?
Absolutely. You know, so a lot of these horses go up on our website, myrtlehouse.horse. We've got shares available in just about all the yearlings that we've purchased this year, and still got a couple of little shares available in some 2-year-olds that are shaping up really nicely. I mentioned Yes, Yes, Yes as a stallion. We've got a Yes, Yes, Yes colt out of a mare called Azola, Hassane mare called Azola. It's the same family as Cherry Tortoni. Goes back to Tie the Knot. Really, you know, it's a wicked family. You can't go wrong, and the horse has done a lot, shaping up really nice. He's a bit of a beast, really. I think he's going to make a really nice horse. We've got a Zusane filly out of Keltara, who's a half to Missy Cummings, and so therefore bred very, very tightly in the same way as Missy, the Group 1 winner of the Canterbury Stakes that my father trained. I've got a two-done hot filly that I think is hopefully my next Jewess.
Yes.
She's a very nice filly. Gallops like a 3- and 4-year-old, and she's only just going around as a 2-year-old at the moment. So she's one that where there are a couple of shares sort of available, and I really like her prospects.
All right. Then.
And even a brutal filly that we've got in the stable. I think Brutal's done an outstanding job, and he's sort of top 4 or 5 in the stallion first season size premiership. So Exciting days ahead with opportunities to get involved.
So it's easy. Go to the Myrtle House. So that's Myrtle House .horse/show. Yeah, .horse/ownership. That too darn hot. So there she is out of Moonlight Music. And she'll be, how far away is she off racing?
Well, I mean, look, the plan is to get her to the trials at the end of April.
Yes.
And then at least give her a couple of runs before we give her a little fresh in or a let up. And then have a look at the Spring Princess Series and even an Oaks. She's got a massive stride for a young horse. She's got a very sort of competitive nature about her. She's got excellent powers of recovery. Everything sort of says to me that she's the sort of horse that'll turn out, you know, really well, not only on debut and as a two-year-old, she's strong enough for that, but she's also, you know, a proper sort of classic style of filly that'll get up over a mile and further and do very well.
All right, mate. You've sold me. So that's myrtlehouse.horse/ownership and away you go. And we wish you the best of luck. You had a couple of roughies there on Saturday, but we appreciate your time, mate. And yep, good luck this weekend. And we can't wait to see these young horses step out onto the track for your stable.
Good as gold. And for the listeners, just follow that Long Jeans in the Midway. I think he's a nice horse. I think he'll bob up at a good price.
Well, that'll do us. That'll do us. We'll sack the driver and bring you in. Thanks for that, Edward.
See you, mate.
Ed Cummings. Thoroughbred Sales. Compare all your available options at thoroughbredsales.com.au.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy Up with Gareth Hall. It's now time for the weekend preview with Mick Gannon, Dean Watling and Mitch Lewis.
Cascading the place is a bet for me, Dino.
Yeah, I'm with Pride of Jenny.
But it's still Pride of Jenny. 100 to go. There's no stopping her. What a performance. Pride of Jenny wins.
Old Bastille will be out in front controlling this race and should be winning.
Yep, hard enough to beat. I doubt anything will beat her.
Yeah, all things being equal, Bold Bastille probably wins by a couple of lengths, G.
Bold Bastille, 100 metres to go with an excellent turn of foot. She's just going to be a bit too fast for them. And Bold Bastille, he's down one wheel.
I like this setup for Bruno if he does run here. Barrier four here, good enough speed. He should be in a good spot, which I think is the favouring for me. I think he's an each-way price as well.
Oh, I agree with the boys. I think Brudenell here looks a really nice bet.
Brudenell coming at Mahaba at the 100, then Ray Magnerio late. Mahaba, Brudenell with a final thrust and one. Brudenell wins.
I thought there was a sneaky one in Dublin Down to place. I think he maps really well here.
Dublin Down is going to gate crash the Golden Slipper. Dublin Down held off a node.
Yeah, I think this is an opportunity for Winchat to sort of bounce back here and you know, show us what he's got.
Yeah, I thought Winchat even the place is better than the fave.
Winchat in front from Tarvi Time. Winchat's going to lead all the way, turning over the short favourite Tarvi Time.
Just depends on what price you want to take. Zugotcha, I think maybe a dry deck is a negative. If the rain comes, Zugotcha becomes a bet.
Zugotcha near the inside of Samana. Zugotcha, Zugotcha got the Coolmore. Zugotcha won at a neck.
Yeah, Lindemann just wins this race, G.
So Lindemann, one of the better bets on the program. Mitchy?
Probably just leaning away. Lindemann with the push from the boys there.
But it's Lindemann drawing clear for a big, big win in the Sky High Stakes. Too good for these, Lindemann.
Yeah, happy to be with Red Card here, Dino.
Yep, agree. I think really good two-bet race. The four Red Card and the seven Omni-Man.
Red Card kicking well. It's Red Card in front with 50 to go. A wall for the miners. Red Card led all the way.
It was another fill-up from the lads there last week. Hopefully they can continue on their winning form this Saturday for Slipper Day and William Reid Stakes Day. Unfortunately, with our staking plan, there were no winners. So I still lead the way, and I was stiff. Gatsby cost me a fortune last week. I'm $30 in front. Lewis is $370 down. Watling $400 down. And Mickey Gannon, the defending champ, is $485 down. But it's a massive weekend. Looking forward to our staking plan a little later on. We get $200 each, but let's welcome in the team. It's going to be a busy final hour here on Giddy Up for the weekend preview. Hello to you, Mickey Gannon.
Yes, good morning, G. Morning, lads.
Hello to you, Dean Watling.
Morning, fellas. Slipper week. I'm excited.
Yes.
G-man.
Mitchy Lewis. G'day, mate.
Hello, boys.
Can't wait. Let's get stuck into it. We'll start off with the Randvet, the first of the big races there at Rose Hill. First of all, before we have a look at that race, soft six, roll out 2 metres. How does this track play, Mickey Gannon?
Yeah, we'll get to a soft five this morning, I'm pretty sure, and probably a good four because the weather gods have shone upon Sydney, and I think it's going to be a very, very fair track, mate.
All right, then. Think it over in the Ramfords at $2.50, the old boy. Via Sistina, they tell me she's very, very good at $3.40. First out for Chris Waller, J-Mac rides. Buckaroo, $4. Then we go down to Place du Carousel at $7.50. First up for the Freedmans. Military Mission at 13, big prices for the rest. Dean Watling, you kick off proceedings here, mate.
Yeah, a little background on the two imports, the 6 and the 7. Via Sistina brings a similar time form rating to Think It Over. Second in the last two races in Group 1 level. Ties in through a horse by the name of King of Steel, who ran 5th in the Breeders' Cup on turf at Santa Anita behind Ostaga Roden. I think the gate's the query, though, for this horse. I think you're going to give Think It Over a start out in front. I think that's the big query for mine. And for that reason, I'm happy to lean the way of Think It Over. I think the other import, Place to Carousel, is probably the one that's got to get out in the market. I think the time form ratings and the form around that horse needs to improve a couple of lengths to be up to the top two I mentioned. So, Gano, I'm keen to stick with the Aussie. Think It Over out in front dictating.
Yeah, there's just absolutely no speed in this race at all. Small field of 7, Think It Over, rolls forward, out in front, key Nashua Willer dictates terms. And Think It Over's career peak run comes over 2,000 metres, gets it here today with not like a real lack of pressure in behind it. And I think it's just over to you, Nash. Buckaroo probably wanted it wetter, and Via Sistina probably wanted it wetter. And I think the money for Think It Over suggests that is the case, Mitchie.
Yeah, I found this one tricky enough in the fact that there's a few unknowns for me. I know Dino dove in on the internationals and even Buckaroo. We haven't seen him heaps, have we? So I thought Thinking Over, if it gets it too easy, would be hard to beat. But I thought there was a sneaky, just a tiny little play on Military Mission. I think dependent, no matter what conditions come, I think it'll be able to handle either. And it's got a really good record second up here. So if he can improve off his first up run, I reckon he could be a sneaky.
Adrian Bott said, you'll run a big race, Mitchie. You'll be better over more of a trip Military Mission and Think It Over. He does look tough to beat. So Mickey Gannon likes Think It Over. Dino with Think It Over. Mitchie with Think It Over, but Military Mission maybe a place bet there in the Ramford Stakes. The group one for the three-year-olds, of course, is the Rosehill Guineas. Out to 2,000 metres. Bet365 has Riff Rocket at $3, the favourite. Tom Kitten gets a low gate and Huey Bowman, $3.40. Immediacy at $7. King Colorado gets the blinkers off at $10. Gambaray at $12. Cafe Millennium at $13. Johnny O'Shea says that maybe the 2,000 metres might just see him out. CO Wolf at $15. And Cap Foray at $19. Interesting watching Chris Waller's social media preview there, Mickey Gannon. That Charlie Duckworth, through Charlie's eyes, gave this horse a good push at a big price.
Yeah, it's a horse I was really keen on earlier in the week when he did our all-in show, around $51. I thought it was, I think the tag I gave it was the best maiden in the country. And 11 starts, no wins. Ryan Moore, barrier 9, sits out the back, smokes the pipe, and we'll get the last crack at them. I think it's a really, really open Guineas. And therefore, I'm happy to lean Cap Foray on a 1x4 basis. They've scratched, they being the Wallace Yard, have scratched Militarized, and they've only gone with the two runners here. So I think they'll be very confident in their two runners as well. Dino?
Yeah, one of the strangest decisions I've seen, Militarized obviously going to the Polo Stakes. I think if anything, looking at his last start as a form student, I would suggest he needed 2,000 metres. Now they drop back to 1,500 metres. Can't understand that. What it does do for the race, though, I think it opens up a good opportunity to back Tom Kitten. I think dry surface is a massive tick. Start of the week, I was so scared that he's going to get to a wet track and fail. Come Thursday now, we're going to get a good four. Gate 2, Huey Bowman, he's going to settle a lot closer. I'd suggest have 2,000 metres with his long, lovely action. I think it's the day we can chime into Tom Kitten with confidence. I'm scared of Riff Rocket, flat second up, look for him to peak third up. And like you mentioned, Gano, Cap for a $500,000 in the bank for 11 start maiden. I'd love one of them in the stable, Mitchie.
I'd prefer a winner, Dino.
Yeah.
Would you?
You can send it to Gosford for a win.
Yeah. Mitchie.
Super Maiden.
Hey. I'm keen Riff Rocket, boys. I really like the setup for him here third up. Like Dino said, he did this last prep too. He was a little bit flat second up, and then he come and blew him away third up. So I think no matter with the conditions, it sets up nice for him. I think with how the race shapes, there's not stacks of speed, so I think Nash can put him in a good spot from that barrier. Like he's got that little bit of adaptability where he can settle forwards of midfield in a good spot. I think if he's here like he was last prep, third up, he'll be very hard to catch, Riff Rocket. I'm pretty keen him.
Gunner. Hey, G, just quickly, yeah, be remiss of us not to mention King Colorado. So no. This horse, the blinkers come off this time. And I think that's going to be the key to his chances. Zara, Barrier 3, you're getting $10. I think that's another horse that's very much in contention here. And we haven't even talked about immediacy, but great race, G.
Immediacy. We don't know its ceiling, as James Cummings pointed out, and he's one of those horses that never looks like winning and then jumps out of the ground. So he's a fascinating runner, but this is by far his biggest test come Saturday.
It's a long way to come, 12. Isn't it? Fourth run in your first preparation. So, yeah, long way to come.
We'll take a break. This is the weekend preview. Thanks to Bet365 on the other side of it. We'll preview the George Ryder, the Golden Slipper and the Galaxy on a Super Saturday at Rose Hill. In the agency, George Ryder Stakes at Rose Hill Gardens on Saturday. He's still the favourite, but it's a concerning tweet that was sent out by Racing New South Wales stewards this morning. Host of gear changes here for a few of these runners. Kovalika blinkers off. Golden Mile blinkers off. Tongue tie first time. New Energy, just the earmuffs again. Then we go Lady Laguna, synthetic hoof filler first time. V8 blinkers again. And Tis Invincible tongue tie again. Market with Bet365 has, think about it, 380. Militarize, who misses the guineas, goes here at $5. End cap at $8.50. Lady Laguna, $10. V8, $11. Kovalika, $17. Amenable, which was given a wonderful push by Mick Price on Tuesday morning when I had a chat to him, at $17. James Cummings, Over the Moon with Pericles at $19. New Energy at $19. Mighty Ulysses at $23. Tis Invincible at $26. Golden Mile at $34 here, Mickey Gatton. Who wins the George Ryder?
Yeah, well, a whole grave concerns for Think About It, yes. Not just because of what the stewards have sent out, but purely just from the barrier and this setup. Like, I hope the horse is fine and I hope they run because he's taking up a big percentage of the market and I don't think he can win this race, G, and I'm happy to oppose him.
Okay.
I thought Pericles is a horse that will be able to just sort of sit midfield, maybe just forward of midfield behind some high-quality runners there, including Think About It, Lady Laguna, Bandersnatch, V8. And then obviously you've got the horses underneath, and I think Pericles is the one I want to be with. It's a big price. I had it marked closer to $10, Dino, so happy to be with Pericles on an each way basis.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head with the favourite. Think About It. I'm keen to be against him just at the price. I think it's ridiculous odds. Skate 17, I doubt in my mind he did enough first up to convince me that he should be favourite for this race. I think with that little issue that Gareth spoke about, or might be a non-issue come Saturday, I doubt he's out's favourite. Barriers are somewhat ruined this race. You try to find an edge here, and it's just every single horse you want to find is drawn badly. In saying that, flip side, 1,500 metres start at Rose Hill's very kind, around 300 metres to the turn. No real confidence, but I'm going to have a spec on three horses. So I'm going to back the 11, New Energy, the 12, Amendable, and the 14, Cosmic Vega. They're all $20 plus, so we can have a little $10 bet on each of them. But it's a very, very tricky race, Mitchie.
Yeah, I'm really similar to you, Dino. I thought some of the barriers made it hard for me to really want to zone in on some. Like, I would have been keen to be with Kovalika, but the barrier 19 and if they're going to be able to run on is probably my concern. So I was a two-bet play as well. I thought V8 from his barrier, he's going to get a good run. He's probably going to be forwards or just near the speed. So I think that sets up nicely for him, while others might have to need a bit of luck through the field. And I think just a teeny tiny speck on Golden Mile as well. I think he's had some excuses and he's a pretty big price, in my opinion, for a horse that'll be in the right spot. I just probably don't want it too soft, but I think he's worth a tiny little play.
Let's have a look at the slipper now. Storm Boy at 220s. Price is held up after the barrier draw. He gets gate to Switzerland 460. Worked nicely at Rose Hill today for more reports. Lady of Camelot at $7.50 has had some good backing. She might be the early leader talking to Adrian Bott today. Straight Charge at 11. Hayasugi at $16. Espionage at 20 to 1. Shangri-La Express at $29. Traffic Warden at $31. Fully Lit at $34. Bodyguard at $34. Prost at $34. Then Coleman at 40 to 1. Manal at 50 to 1. Dublin Down at 70 to 1. Holmes at Court at 80 to 1. And the Talented Anise is at 100 to 1. And Rooted Royale, who gets the blinkers first time, is the Ruffy at $151. Mitchie Lewis, who wins the Golden Slipper?
Yeah, I've lent the way of Switzerland, G. It was to do with the map, sort of. Like, I know Stormboy, if he gets out clean, is going to be super hard to beat. He's going to be in a good position, but what's going to happen up forwards is probably a big question mark for me, and I think I'm getting a better price for Switzerland for a horse that I know. James McDonald in the saddle. He's got options galore from his barrier. I think if they go hard enough up front and he can just tack onto the back of those, he might be in a super spot. So I was leaning that way, value-based, but I know lots are going to come for Stormboy, but Switzerland for me, Gunner.
Yeah, cracking race. The speed map's everything here. Fully Lit inside, Stormboy, Shangri-La Express to the outside, and Lady of Camelot there. Gee, what was the thoughts of Adrian Bott in regards to where Stormboy lands?
I reckon he'll just be off the pace, maybe third, fourth box seating, and he'll get that run. I reckon, this is how I picture it. I think he'll get the same run as Cylinder did last year.
Yeah.
And then
I was more worried about how Body pictured it, though.
Yeah, well, I don't think he wants to give too much away, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it, from the draws?
Yeah, you think so. You think he either finds the rails leaders back or 1-1 as an ideal plan A. Plan B, you might end up two pairs back. And I don't think that's probably not ideal for the horse, but my biggest concern, we spent just a little bit of time on this race, G, but my biggest concern for Switzerland, and I think the horse is clear second pick, is you've got Craig Williams drawn inside you, who won't want to be giving up that three pairs back running line spot. So I think J-Mac's going to have to take his medicine and probably end up four pairs back, which just means he's going to be two lengths further off Stormboy or potentially three lengths further off Stormboy than what he needs to be. That's going to tell the story, because I think Stormboy is clearly a one length better horse from what we've seen. So all things being equal, they both get fair runs in the race. Stormboy wins. Very, very interesting race. Outside of that, Prost is a horse I think can make up some ground from those drawn out wide. I'm very, very concerned about the likes of Manal, Hayasugi. Their horses I would have been keen to back from better barriers and spec, but from out there, I'm not really interested, Dino.
Yeah, barriers, if you look back through history, and I think the historical profile for this race is huge. Inside gates have sort of dominated, and if you've sort of drawn wide, you've got to be a horse that's up on speed. So I don't think it's going to be a track where you want to be getting all the way back and running on over the top, especially with the caliber of horses in front of you. I think you make the best point of the race, and not many people have touched on it, is I think the key to Switzerland's chances comes down to Craig Williams. If he holds that spot, pushes Switzerland back a pair further, I am concerned about that for Switzerland. The speed map and how fast they're going to go is interesting. I think if we had all those speed horses from different stables, you could bank on a really hot tempo, but they all come from the same stable. I doubt they're going to carve each other up. So I think it might be a scenario where they go hard early, sets up a good tempo, but I doubt they'll push on.
I disagree there, Dino. Sorry to interrupt, because it's like there's so much on the line for all these other big studs, like Yearlong and Coolmore, and like Lady of Camelot will be going forward trying to lead, I would imagine. I think that, and Adrian Bott pointed this out this morning, I think it'll be a hot Golden Slipper still.
Yeah, but in saying that, what are you going to do, take on? You've got a horse like Fully Lit with Sam Clippen, who's not an aggressive jockey. I doubt he's going to take him on. Yes, I think you'll see Lady of Camelot and Straight Charge roll forward. But in saying that, you can go hard early in the first couple of stages, but then mid-race, I dare say the best chances for all these horses is to control that tempo and then build from there. So I doubt they're going to go breakneck. I think it'll be a strong tempo, but I think if they come from different stables, I think we'll see a sort of frantic tempo. Where's that lead us? I think you can beat around the bush, but I'm going to play a straight bat this year. I think Stormboy wins the race. I think a leader's back, or if he leads the field, I think it's all over. I think don't be worried if he travels up on the bridle, I think, or goes off the bridle, sorry. I think he's a horse who, as soon as he comes off the bridle, the more you get stuck into him, the more he finds. If you want a place chance, I think Straight Charge is the one that could potentially beat him, brings the Todman profile, which is the best lead up to the Golden Slipper. But I think it's a two-horse race between them. I probably want to be a little bit against Switzerland, especially with Traffic Warden posing that sort of three pairs back on the outside, G-Man.
All right, then. I'll get this question for you, Mitchy Lewis. If you're Coolmore, do you tell Ryan Moore, if you jump, I want you to hold the front? Because if you got Mickey Gannon or Dean Watling or Dean Watling's theory, and then they put the brakes on, and all of a sudden you're behind a slow speed, you might get a little keen. What would you be thinking there that would be going through Tom Magnier and Coolmore's thoughts there regarding the tactics with Storm Boy?
If I got out in front clean and found myself at the front on the best horse, I'd want to think that I'd just back myself in to be the best horse and not, do you know what I mean? If I'm there and I can control the race out in front, I may as well. If I'm the best horse in the race, it's going to make it harder for everyone to get past me, I suppose. Is that what you're asking, Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree. If he jumps, I don't think you like, I know she's very quick, the filly, Lady of Camelot, but I'd probably want to be holding there with Storm Boy, but it's going to be a fascinating tactical race. There's no doubt about that. Who are you tipping, Mitchy?
Yeah, I'm Switzerland. I think he just might. I'm of the opinion that we've seen Traffic Warden try to go forwards in his last two starts. Yes. Can he do that on this tempo? I'm not sure. So if there's a little bit of worry there and Switzerland gets past Traffic Warden, I think he'll be in a super spot.
All right, then, Dino, you're tipping Storm Boy.
Yep, Storm Boy, I'm going to play a straight bat. I think you're going to sort of have that tall poppy syndrome and try and knock him off, but there's no holes in him this year for me.
And Mickey, just repeat your tip there.
Yep, Storm Boy and Prost the blowout.
What do you reckon he does there if he jumps nicely at Ryan Moore? Do you think he holds up?
Outside leader, absolutely ideal.
Yep. And who leads then? The filly?
I actually had Shangri-La Express leading because I think the best version of Shangri-La Express with Regan Bayless aboard is just handlebars down, high pressure. I think that's where you see the best version of that horse, and I'd be shocked if they don't try and lead.
So where does the filly Lady of Camelot get to then?
Probably lands outside leader.
Outside leader, if Storm Boy doesn't want it, otherwise 1-1. But it's very interesting, G. Like, and I don't think what we hear now and from the stable is what we're necessarily going to get on Saturday either. No. Because I'll get there in the mounting yard and the individual ownership groups and bloodstock groups will come together and have their chat with their jockey and say, this is how you ride on this horse, and away they go.
Yeah.
I think Shangri-La Express leads. I think Storm Boy actually sees leaders back. That was my gut feeling. But
yeah, it's interesting.
But I think you want positive. Sorry.
But if you wanted to say if the horse jumped perfectly, which I just don't think he will, then outside leader's there for him. Yes.
I think the way this track's going to play and what we often see in the slipper, every horse tends to get their chance if you land in the first six. I think 12 out of the last 15 winners of the Golden Slipper have landed forward of midfield, the first six in running. So I know we can juggle them all around with the Waterhouse and Bot. What I would say is, I think if you're going to land in the first six in running, you're going to get your chance to win. So I think that's a big positive. If he lands leaders back, if he leads 1-1, wherever he goes, I think they're all positives for him. And that's why I love him on top.
Hey, a few text messages coming through. Do you give Bodyguard a chance, lads? Dino?
Yeah, I think I'll pass to Gano because I know Gano likes his horse.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought so. I just thought, like, if they do go absolute frantic tempo, it is a horse that I had included in my trifectas of first four. It's just purely from the stable. His first up run was enormous. Second up a little bit flat. Third up can peak, and in the right stable do so. So, yeah, definitely a blowout chance.
All right, lads, we'll take the news. We'll come back and continue our preview of Rose Hill for Slipper Day straight after this, including we'll take a look at the big sprint race on the day, the Galaxy.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. It's no surprise that wherever the blue and gold goes, success follows at First Light Racing. Firstlightracing.com.au. Timmy Wilson, hello to you.
Morning, boys.
What do you make of Osmos? Surely it's Osmos's day there tomorrow or on Saturday?
Yeah, it feels that way, you know. Like, her first up run was terrific, carrying a bit of weight. So to get her in on the minimum Saturday, I think, 16 horses come out of the same race. So she's the first one past the post from that field. She drops weight. Barrier 4, the 1900's probably her sweet spot. And probably the biggest thing from our perspective, which may not be in the form guide, is she's finally going to hit a track with a little bit of give in it. Mm-hmm. Those Europeans, she's been running on good threes and good fours. She's a better mare with her toe in the ground, and she had a little jump out at Randwick about a month ago on a soft seven, and she finished second. Zardozi was behind her. So I think she's going to get the condition she hasn't had yet in Australia on Saturday. And, yeah, no excuse from our end.
So your best mate for the day?
Yeah, I think so. We've got Cosmic Vega, who's first up in the George Ryder, the import. So excited for him. We don't have a light on him, obviously, having his first start for us. So we're optimistic with him. But, look, Osmos is, yeah, hopefully the one for us.
Did you have any luck in Adelaide?
No, we didn't go to Adelaide. We filled the shelves already. So it looked like a really good sale from afar. Obviously produced a lot of Group 1 horses out of there. But, yeah, our shelves are full at the moment. So, yeah, no joy in Adelaide.
How do we get involved, First Light Racing? Have you got one that we should be getting into?
Yeah, I'm in love with the microphone filly that we bought at Cutis a couple of weeks ago. So she's Cutis paid up. She looks fast. She's out of a mare that's had 3 2-year-old winners already. And, yeah, we've got the 3-year-old Magic Millions on the mantelpiece. We'd love to add the 2-year-old. And if we can, I think it'll be her.
Who trains her?
Robbie Heathcote gets her. So,
beautiful.
The great man up in Queensland. So he's good fun to train with.
Who wins the slipper, mate?
One of Gaze.
Yep. Sensational. Yeah, love that insight. Storm Boy,
mate. She's phenomenal. Storm Boy's the obvious. The boys on the panel are better judges than me, but you know it's unbelievable what he's done over such a long sustained period of time, and to line up with 7 runners in the race on Saturday, it's mind blowing, and she's been doing it for 30 years, so she's a marvel.
You're a star. Good on you, Timmy. Head to the firstlightracingwebsite.com.au and you can find your next superstar. Love your work.
Cheers, boys.
There's Tim Wilson. It's no surprise that wherever the blue and gold goes, success follows at First Light Racing, firstlightracing.com. Let's have a look at the Galaxy. Osmosis is at 4:40. Af Cabin Bullish, James Cummings this morning about his chances, 5:50. Great to see Sunshine in Paris back at 6:50. Private Eye at 7:50. Uncommon James gets a lovely gate, $8.50. Then King's Gambit, 12. Passive Aggressive at 15. King of Sparta, unsure whether he runs or not, he's at 17. And Buddhist Notches is at a big price at 20-1. Remark, 23. And Asfura is at $23. Dino, who wins the Galaxy?
Yep, good luck, Fro. They're more written on a piece of paper up in the air and catch them, because it is an impossible race for me. It's a terrific race, but it's a theme of the day. I think if you find the winner, you're going to be rich, because it's sort of $5 a field. Where am I going to lean? I think Sunshine in Paris is a really good bet now that we're getting a firm surface. She blew them away in the Scirocco first up. Don't worry about her trials. That's how she generally trials, a little bit flat. She is a Group 1 horse, definitely. Gate 2 helps. I'd be happy enough to have a little bet on her, as well as the 5, Af Cabin. I thought he was terrific first up, albeit held up. He's ready to explode. I think gate 8 is the key to him. So 1,100 metres, just remember, you sort of want to be forward of midfield, don't you, Gunner?
Spot on, mate. Yeah, and I'm with you. I think Sunshine in Paris has just drawn an absolute treat. Has also Uncommon James. They're the two I'm willing to play in this race, but gee, it's a cracking race. There's plenty of good horses here that the draw might just bring them undone, but absolutely not surprised to see anything win this race, Mitchie.
Af Cabin for me, boys. I thought first up, some of the quickest splits of the day. The small field might have been his undoing. I think in a big field with pressure galore up front, it might set up nicely for him. So second up slightly in trip. I think it's Af Cabin's race.
Af Cabin there for Mitchie Lewis. Let's have a look at the birthday card. Alenti, this is the last race at 3:50. Tashi at 7:50. Same Magique at $8. Extravagant Star at $10. Wee Nessie at 11. Rainbill at $12. Tintuki at 15. And then big prices for the rest, headed by Sounds of Heaven at $17 here, Mitchie Lewis.
Yeah, interesting little race. I gave a chance to the 15G Extravagant Star. I thought a good race map for Jamie Carr here, second up with a light weight. I found the race tricky enough, but I thought if Extravagant Star sort of held a position forwards and midfield, it could be a chance here, Gunner.
Yeah, really interesting race. Barriers, have pretty much made it hard for plenty of these horses, G. Alentia, the best version of Alentia, wins this race. I thought Tashi drew perfectly. And I'm with Mitchie. Extravagant Star is the horse I have to be backing in this race. So I just think it has a bit of upside, and 53 kilos, Jamie Carr, barrier three, ticks the boxes that I want to be having when I'm betting. So extravagant star on top for me, Dino.
Yep, really, really hard end to the day. I will be backing Alentia if the market support comes. If she drifts, I'll be jumping off and leaving the race alone. But if she's well back late, G-Man, I'll be chiming in.
Randwick, best for you, Dino, on slipper day?
Yeah, best bet. I'm going to go to the slipper. I think race eight, number one, Stormboy is the best. I'm going to play straight back there. I think another couple of chances that I really like, Timmy just touched on it, race three, Osmost, and race number four, really keen to bet into the Derby Munro. I think we can back Brave Mead and Robrick to beat the short price favourite Schwartz. So that's the way I'm playing the Rose Hill card.
Do you give Cornice a chance in that race?
I do, but I think the gate's a big concern. There's not a lot of speed, and you're going to have to give Robrick a start. You're going to have to give Brave Mead and Swartz all a start and sort of loop him from gate eight. And I tend not to like that stable second up. So, yeah, I'm probably against.
All right, then. Mickey Gannon?
Yeah, I thought Cornish's a chance and over the odds. In regards to best bets across the day, Stormboy is one of those. I thought race one, number one, Electrica is one of those. Sorry, Mitchie, because I know you're keen on that horse as well. But it was enormous against the bias from a wide gate and gets a 3 kilo claim from Molly Burke, who's in good form from a really good draw. I think it's a really good bet as well, Mitchie.
Yeah, Gano's pinched my Electrica there. I thought I'd found one in the midway, so that, glad we aligned. It makes me a little bit more confident.
It's embarrassing you tipping specials in a midway on Slipper Day, yeah. But anyway, Electrica.
That's all right. I'll just keep, yeah.
It's like you don't like winners? Or?
Yeah, winners are winners. Yeah. I apologise.
Yeah. Good way to start the Slipper Day, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Riff Rocket, race six. I think I'm pretty keen on his chances third up, and I am reasonably keen Afcabin gets the job done too.
Afcabin. Hey, G. Yes. I've left mine off here for the punters, and yes. I shouldn't have done it. I really shouldn't be yelling this one out because I haven't had a bet on it yet. But you're getting around. No, that's not where I was going. But it was around $41. Gan Terrainen. This horse was enormous second up last start, last preparation. I think it was its first preparation in the country. Not up to 1900 meters. Tommy Berry draws a decent enough gate here in a big field. $41. Ludicrous price. Ludicrous.
Yeah, no luck first up, did it on that sitting sprint.
Like, this is a proper bet, and I'm having 50 each way with the staking plan.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll come back and have a look at Moonee Valley.
Live across Australia on SEN Track. Giddy up with Gareth Hall.
Welcome back to Giddy Up. Let's get stuck into the Moonee Valley preview. First of the features is race five, the Sunline Stakes. Campanessa at 340 is the favourite for Mark Walk, Opie Bossom and Tiako Racing. Wishlaw Lass at 420. Roll on High at $5. Internal Flame given a chance at $6. Then Running By at 12, Foxy Cleopatra at 12, and the People's Champ Legacies at $13, Mitchie Lewis.
Keen to be with the two, Wishlaw Lass, G-Man. I think second up here, she's undefeated second up. She's a winner at the track. She'll go forwards, barrier seven. I don't think there's going to be too much pressure for her. Perhaps Legacies wants to go with her. I just think it sets up really nicely for Wishlaw Lass second up here. I was probably willing to risk Campionessa, I thought. 1,800 metres down to 16, barrier one. Maybe it's just going to end up in an awkward spot. I would have preferred to see it go up to the 2,000. So Wishlaw Lass is one of my better ones, Gunner.
Yeah, I'm happy to lead the way of Campionessa just from the good draw. Right price to bet. The 57 kilos is pretty fair weight and happy to be with it, Dino.
Yep, leave me out of this race, G-Man.
All right, then. Alexandra Stakes for the three-year-old fillies over the 2,000 metres. In fact, it's over the 1,600 metres. Molly Nickers stays in Victoria. She was entered in an Adelaide race, but she'll race in Victoria. She's at 250. Certainly big raps on her. She arrived in Melbourne last night from New Zealand, and she steps up to the mile. She's at $5. Viviere at $5. Grinsinger Bell at $7.50. And then Quick Star, forget about her. She goes to Adelaide. Peter Moody telling me that this morning. Vibrant Sun at $13 here. We'll start with you, Mickey Gannon.
Yeah, I think you have to be forgiving of Grinsinger Bell. Last start was just caught in an awful position here. So happy to be forgiving of her. I think that she'll probably lead them up if we see a typical valley track, she'll be, you know, very much suited out in front. Molly Nikos is the clear danger, G. That's as obvious as the day is long. I think if you back them both, you get a result, Mitchy.
Yeah, so, G, do you know what Vibrant Sun's doing? Have you heard that?
No. Vibrant Sun's definitely coming to Melbourne. Mick Price said she's an each-way ticket, his best each-way chance of the day.
Right, I thought she was a massive chance in Adelaide too, and I got excited then with Molly Nikos out of the race in that one in Adelaide. But I think she can run a race second up. I agree with him. Barrier 5, I think she'll be in a good spot. She was well supported first up. I think there's something there up to the 1,600 metres. I think she's going to be in a good spot. I was willing to be against Molly Nikos, just depending on how far she was going to get back. So I agree with Gunner, though. It'll be Grinzing a Bell that I need to be chasing. Vibrant Sun, I think there's some upside there, Dino.
Yeah, I think Gunner makes a really good point. Forgive the last start effort, Grinzilla, but Blinkers Go On leads in a race with absolutely no tempo. I think she is an easy bet to have here. I don't think there should be so much discrepancy in the market. Do concede Molly Nikos is a danger, but I can't chime in at $2.45, Gareth.
All right, then we'll take a break. We'll come back and have a look at the features, the Alistair Clark and the William Reid at Moonee Valley. Our Moonee Valley preview. We'll go straight to the William Reid. Imperatrix out to $1.80 in the feature. Cylinder $5.50. Bell and Patina at $7.50. IME $8 here. Mitchie, you're nearly getting $2 now for your horse, Imperatrix.
Yeah, she's a Moonee Valley specialist. 4 from 4 here. 2 over the trip. I just think it sets up okay for her. I'm not too concerned about the barrier. We've seen she can go back if she needs to. And you know a horse like Hypothetical and Q-Man will put the speed into the race. So I think she lands handy enough. And I think with the weight swings here, it sets up really hard for her to beat. Like, she's got 2 kilos less than Cumin here now. It's a massive difference in the last race, Gunner.
Yeah, she does. But we're not worried about Cumin. I think Bellina Patina is the one to beat. I think IME will give a big side out in front. The Cylinder's right there. There's 3 main dangers. And then you've got King's Gambit. But, well, gee whiz.
Who are you tipping?
Imagine if that horse came out and won. I'm leaning the way Bellina Patina. I think she'll handle the valley.
Keeps freezing up there, Gunner.
Yes. We'll go with you, Dino.
Yep. Easy for me. I'm going to be against Imperatrix. I think the draw makes it even harder. I can't take that price. I don't think she's going as well as the spring. So I'm happy enough to be with Bellina Patina, who has a career peak in the Manukato Stakes over this track and trip. So that's the play for me. The group one there on there in Melbourne.
All right, then we've got the Alexandra. We just mentioned that for the fillies. The Alistair Clark. Do you have a tip there, Mitchie?
Let me get it up, G-Man.
Which is Quintessa at $3.50. Verdad at $7.50. Apulia at $8.50.
Yeah, I thought Verdad, he's run here previously well before. I thought he's looked progressive enough this prep to suggest the 2,000 metres will suit, and he's run well at the Valley previously.
Mickey Gannon?
No opinion there. It was Bellina Patina for me in the William Reid.
Yep. Dino?
No, shoulders, arms.
All right, then best at Moonee Valley, Dino?
My best is in the feature. I think Bellina Patina is a great each-way price there, fellas. Gatto?
Yep, share the sentiment with Dino, Bellina Patina on an each-way basis.
All right, then. That's interesting. Mitchie Lewis?
I think Wish Law Lass in race 5 and in race 9, number 6, Inhibitions, I think up to the 1,200 metres suits. Good record at the Valley.
All right, then. Staking plans, $200. I suppose the man in front should be going first. I'll have $200 on Imperatrix into Tom Kitt and the Place. Dino?
I don't mind that. I'm going to have $200 on Storm Boy. Straight bat for me this week, Gano.
Love it. G-Man hasn't missed an update since he's been leading. I love it. Yes. Storm Boy, the win. Bellina Patina, the Place, 100 with my last $100. Thank you, G.
All right, then. Mitchie?
Race 5, number 2, Wish Law Lass at the Valley, $50. $35, race 9, the 6, Inhibitions. I'm going to have $80 at Rose Hill, race 6, number 2, Riff Rocket, and then $35, race 9, number 5, Aft Cabin.
I desperately want to have something on Mickey Price's horse in the fillies race. I reckon she would have run a mighty race. She's Vibrant Sun at $13, but into Tommy Kitt in the Place, I'll have $50 and Vibrant Sun at $13, boys. Hey, it's Slipper Day. Can't wait for it, Mickey Gannon. You just say, Adrian, you make sure that you look after him before Saturday. Dino, you get a haircut. Mitchie Lewis, good luck at Murray Bridge.
Thanks, boys.
Love your work, lads. That's a weekend preview. Busy show.